Welcome to the April 4th, 2019 edition of the Crypto.IQ Daily Radio Show, where we do a deep dive market analysis every day and talk about the most interesting stories in the Bitcoin and crypto space. This is your host, Space Marine, live from space. So Bitcoin is right around $5,000 this morning. Last night, around 6 p.m., I guess yesterday evening, actually, Bitcoin peaked around 5345 on Bitstamp. And then it crashed really hard. So everything was looking like crazy good. The total crypto market cap was up to $185 billion. We saw like lots of cryptocurrencies rallying more than 20%. It was pretty wild. It was like 2 days in a row of extreme gains on the crypto market. And then it came to a crashing halt. And Bitcoin crashed from 5345 to 4819, like all at once. Within the course of about an hour. So it dropped over $500 in an hour. And the crypto market really crashed at the same time. The crypto market cap went from 185 billion down to like 169.5 billion. So the total crypto market cap lost like $15 billion in 1 hour. Kind of erased most of the gains for the day. Not all of the gains. There was $19 billion of gains yesterday and it erased $15 billion of them. But there has been a slow recovery. Bitcoin bounced back pretty quick actually to like 4,900. And now it's around 5,000. It's been as high as maybe like 5,050 during this morning. So it seems like there is resistance in the $5,300 to $5,400 layer because Bitcoin got deflected strongly off that. So that's the resistance level to watch in general. There might be resistance below that too, around like 5,100 right now after that crash. So there might be resistance around 5,100 and then at 5,300 to 5,400. And there's support at $4,800 to $4,900. So the crypto market has turned bearish this morning. After crashing to $170 billion, $169.5 billion for the total crypto market cap, it recovered to $175 billion during the early morning hours. But now it's steadily declining. The total crypto market cap is now around $173 billion, and it's declining every time I'm refreshing the page. So things are moving downwards this morning. And most of the percentage changes for the major cryptocurrencies is in the red. So I'm about to go through this analysis reading like the losses that the cryptos are seeing over the last 24 hours. But keep in mind, they have gained a lot before this. So yeah, it's bearish this morning, but the prices are much higher than they were a couple days ago. So it's kind of like a correction. They're not at their peaks of this rally anymore. So technically, they're in the red. But it's not really like a bloodbath or anything because they did just gain like a ton of percentage points before this. So Ethereum is at $161 and it's down 5.3%. Ripple is down 6.1%. Litecoin is down 2.2%. And interestingly enough, Litecoin is back to number 4 on CoinMarketCap. So Bitcoin Cash had that crazy rally. And Bitcoin Cash is actually giving back a lot of its gains, it looks like. It's up 3.3% in the past 24 hours. And this gets kind of confusing this morning. Because Bitcoin Cash's price is at $295, but I'm pretty sure it was at $335 yesterday before the crash happened. So it lost like $40, but it's still technically up in the past 24 hours because it went up so much, gave back most of those gains, but it's still technically up. So the percentage changes we're seeing this morning are not the best indicator for what's actually happening. Like Bitcoin Cash went down a lot since yesterday afternoon, yet it is one of the only cryptos that's in the green today, so... Pretty much, a lot of the cryptos lost, like, their full day of gains. Like, they went up, like, a crazy amount. Like, Bitcoin Cash was up, like, 50%, and it gave back a lot of that. Not all of it. So, and also keep in mind, Bitcoin Cash is at $295. That's way, way, way better than it was before this rally started. Like, Bitcoin Cash was actually below $100 at one point during the bear market low. It was certainly way less than $200 for a while. And now it's at $295, and that's... after crashing $40. EOS is down 2.1%. Binance Coin down 3.8%. $19 per Binance Coin. And finally, the news has come out that the Binance DEX is launching this month. So maybe that's because Binance Coin is finally starting to look a little tepid in comparison to the rest of the market. It's not rising as much as the rest of the market. So they finally announced, okay, we're launching that Binance DEX. And maybe that'll cause a rally when they actually announce when it's happening. They just said it's happening this month, but we don't know exactly when. So maybe there's a little rally in store for Binance Coin when that finally happens. But already, Binance Coin has rallied a ton. So it's worth a lot more now than it was like a month ago. Stellar is down 4.1%. Cardano down 5.7%. Tron down 7.8%. Bitcoin SV is down 0.6%, near $86. Monero down 6.4%. Dash down 5.3%. IOTA down 6.5%. And then we go to Dogecoin. Dogecoin is up 17%. Good Dogecoin. So Dogecoin has really been doing very well. And Dogecoin started rallying before this rally even started. Like, so in the morning before this rally started, because this rally happened around midnight when it started. It was like Tuesday, just after midnight. Dogecoin already rallied that morning to 18%, and it's been rallying a ton. It's now at a $465 million market cap, and it's at number 22 on CoinMarketCap. So it's surpassed Zcash and VeChain and Basic Attention Token. So Dogecoin pretty much didn't even react when all the cryptos crashed yesterday afternoon. It just kept going up. It looks like basically it's up literally 17% in the past 24 hours. And Elon Musk actually said Dogecoin might be his favorite cryptocurrency, and that might be helping the rally or something. Because a lot of people are seeing that around the world, and they're like, okay, if Elon Musk likes it, and Elon Musk is the owner of SpaceX and Tesla. So they're like, oh, if he likes it, then, you know, let's buy some. And I've always loved Dogecoin. It's actually been my favorite since the beginning. Bitcoin's my real favorite, though, but Dogecoin's pretty awesome. They have a really strong community. So, like, if you're starting out in crypto and you find the Dogecoin community, they'll help you learn everything about crypto. Like, they'll get you started on mining and trading and everything else. So, yeah, it's a good entry point for the crypto world, and that's why it's remained a major cryptocurrency. And it's quite interesting to see it go up, like, it's up, like, 100% since this rally started. It was at, like, $250 million market cap or less before the rally started, and now it's at, like, $465 million market cap. So Dogecoin has been, like, pretty much the top earner in this rally, surprisingly. Zooming out, so the market is bearish this morning, technically. The rally is over. The market's entering a correction right now. But I don't see any reason why long-term throughout this month of April, why Bitcoin wouldn't keep going up. I think it's possible that Bitcoin will hit $6,000 this month, because I think the real long-term resistance level now is probably around $6,000 or $6,500. That's probably what it could go up to if this rally goes well this month. But this today's market activity is bringing us down to earth. Like, it was getting really hyped up and lots of excitement on the market, and they thought maybe this is going to skyrocket forever. That's not how it works. It's easy to get lost in, like, a couple of days of rally and be like, okay, it's like extreme crypto rally, it's here. Like I cautioned in the past shows, this probably isn't the major long-term rally we're looking for. It's probably going to take, like, the stock market crashing and the US dollar inflating and the block halving to get that major rally like we've never seen before. And none of that's happening right now. The stock market's at, like, all-time highs pretty much, and despite a lot of economic indicators indicating the economy is weakening, the stock market's still going up. So this isn't the time yet for that major long-term crypto rally where we see the new all-time highs, but it is definitely positive that we got so far off the bottom. We're about $2,000 above the bottom for the market, which was around $3,100 in December. And in general, even now with the crypto market cap at $172 billion or so, and it's going down a little bit every time I refresh the page here, that's still like over 70% above the bear market lows. So we might have reached the bottom in December. But the bear market probably continues. Today's like a reminder, yes, we're still in the bear market. It's not going to be like pure rally yet. It takes time for a bear market to end. This is a good sign that the bear market is going to end eventually. But you can't say it's over yet. Alright, moving on to the first interesting story of the day. So someone put a plot together with avocado prices and the price of Bitcoin on the same graph. And it shows that over the past like month or so, like since early February, since our, you know, Bitcoin rally kind of started. So in early February, that's when we started to really see that uptrend. It wasn't that crazy until a couple days ago, but it was going up since early February, basically. Well, apparently avocado prices were matching Bitcoin prices, basically. So there's a high correlation between avocado prices and the price of Bitcoin since early February. I think this is a case of correlation without causation. The reason avocado prices are rising is because the Mexican border might be closed by the President of the United States. So avocados will become much more expensive in that situation, and they're already pricing it in. Bitcoin is rallying probably for much different reasons. I don't think it's a bunch of people buying Bitcoin so they can send it to Mexico. So It's possible, I guess, but this is probably correlation about causation, and always be careful when people throw graphs together, and you can't really find a logical link between, even if there's a real correlation like we're seeing with avocado prices and Bitcoin, that doesn't mean they're actually related, it just means like the graphs look the same. Moving on to the next story. Apparently Liquid.com, which is a Japanese cryptocurrency platform, had a Series C fundraising round, and now they have a valuation of $1 billion, and when a company reaches a valuation of $1 billion, like a startup company reaches $1 billion valuation, it becomes a unicorn. So this is Japan's second startup tech unicorn in general. So that's pretty good that we're seeing a cryptocurrency company become one of the only tech startup unicorns in Japan. That being said, we have not seen any major crypto companies in the world get listed on an actual stock exchange. So these valuations that we're talking about is kind of like what the valuation of the stock will be when it launches, something like that. They could just remain private. Like, there's companies even like SpaceX that are still private. Like, SpaceX is a huge space corporation run by Elon Musk that has tons of people that want to invest in it, but they're still private. So the shares are traded privately, and that could be the case for Liquid.com forever. And that's been the case for Coinbase since it formed. So yeah, that's the valuation of all of its shares, basically. But like I just said, there has been no IPOs for cryptocurrency companies, and there's none coming from the looks of it. Like, Bitmain was the most likely company to have an IPO. It applied for the Hong Kong Stock Exchange, and then they pretty much ignored the application for 6 months. I think they were reviewing it, but they did not proceed with it because the crypto mining industry got hit so hard. So they were like, okay, we're not letting this go public because it's going to be a pump and dump. And that's the concern with doing an IPO for any crypto company. Basically, the crypto market's very volatile. So if there's like a bear market or just like a big crash in general, the stocks could get wrecked if there's any publicly listed major crypto company. So I think regulators worldwide are waiting for the crypto space to mature some more and become a little less volatile before any of these companies go public. So Liquid.com's like announcement that they're worth $1 billion has no relation to being, you know, ready for an IPO or anything. And like I said, there's no signs of any IPOs in the crypto space right now. Bitmain is trying again for an IPO. And also Canaan, which is like Bitmain's rival, is also trying for an IPO. But there's no actual signs that any crypto IPO is about to happen. That will be a big step for the industry, though, in the future, because it'll allow a bunch of money into these major crypto companies, which will help the whole space. But it's just not happening yet. Moving on to the next story. So the SEC has apparently approved the first ICO ever. And like I said on a bunch of past shows, that the SEC has made guidelines for what's a security and what's not when it comes to ICOs, but they have not approved any ICO to launch ever. Well, they finally did approve one, apparently. It took 11 months for this ICO to get approval. It's called Turnkey Jet. I'm not exactly sure what coin they're launching, but apparently the coin's purpose is to help book travel on private jets. So this ICO is based on booking travel on private jets, but they made it specifically so it's not a security in any way. And simultaneously, the SEC has finally released their definition of a crypto security. Like, it's a really long document. Like, it's a ton of stuff to read. It comes down to the three basic things that we already knew, though, from their previous statements. That if there's an investment of money for the coin, and then there's a common enterprise that's releasing the coin, like a company that's issuing the coin, and then if the investors are buying it in expectation of profits, then it's a security. So that's like all the ICOs, basically. But I guess there's loopholes here where a crypto company could basically make it so their coin is not like an investment, and there's going to be no profits from, you know, buying that coin. It's just like has like a utility sort of use, and that's what Turnkey Jet looks like. So that's the only way to do an ICO. So it's pretty big news that the SEC has approved any sort of cryptocurrency for an ICO, but at the same time, it's a cryptocurrency that's absolutely not for investment. So this really reveals what has happened in the ICO industry. The ICO industry started as, you know, raising money really quickly for companies, like new startup ideas. They would get a ton of money quickly from an ICO. But now the SEC has made it so they literally can't raise money like that anymore. Like, they could have a cryptocurrency, but only if it has, like, no investment value and it's not for investment. That being said, the United States is not the only place in the world. ICOs continue across the world. we've talked about the Binance Launchpad, and then like Bittrex and I think Huobi are doing stuff like the Binance Launchpad. So there's major cryptocurrency exchanges that have taken on the ICO game, but it's all outside of the United States. So people outside of the United States can still play with ICOs and buy ICOs. And since there's so few ICOs, the ICOs that have been launching in recent times have been doing pretty good, at least short term. It's become like a pump and dump game. Like, just for example, the Binance Launchpad, they released 6% of the ICO supply, or like the coin supply. So there's way more demand than supply, and the coin's price pumps immediately after the ICO. But it's like a pump and dump game. It's probably going to dump a lot once the other 94% of the supply goes live. So that's kind of like what ICOs have always been. It's been a pump and dump sort of game where if you buy it immediately, then you sell it like immediately, like a day or two or like a week later, then yeah, there's room to make a lot of money, but it's not a safe long-term investment. And that's why the SEC got rid of it, because lots of investors in the United States were getting totally burned by ICOs. Like, they'd be buying it, and then it would just pump and dump, and they were trying to hold it long-term, and they would lose all their money. Or the ICO wouldn't even deliver anything. Like, they might launch an ERC-20 token and then have no actual company and kind of, like, waste all the money on luxury items and partying and whatever. So the SEC had to do what they did. I don't blame them for pretty much making it illegal to have the ICOs how they were, because the ICOs were causing such tremendous damage to investors. And actually, since ICOs have become pretty much illegal in the United States, it's paved the way for a recovery, maybe this recovery that we're seeing, because now there's not investors that are all the time getting burned and calling the police and all this trouble in the news from ICOs. It's getting less and less. Like, we're still seeing fallout from the ICOs in 2017, 2018, early 2018. We're still seeing the fallout from some of them in like court cases and stuff. But in general, the news is becoming less and less because they cut off the ICO game. And I think it's good for the crypto space. It was really damaging the reputation of cryptocurrency. Moving on to the next story. A stock exchange in Sweden called the Nordic Growth Market has listed two more cryptocurrency-related products. One of them is a Litecoin ETP, exchange-traded product, and a Ripple ETP. This is the second time in like a week we have seen an exchange-traded product for Ripple launch in Europe. And the two that we're talking about today were launched by XBT Provider, and they have 8 exchange-traded products so far. So in Europe, we're actually starting to see cryptocurrency become listed on the stock market through ETPs. It's not happening in the United States at all. There was one exchange-traded product in the United States. I think it was from XBT Provider. Like, they basically kind of found a way to get it listed in the United States. Even though it was listed in Europe, they were able to trade it in the United States, but then the SEC stopped it. So we have no cryptocurrency related things on the actual stock market right now, besides maybe the Bitcoin futures in Chicago and CME. Like, those can be traded through stock trading platforms, but there's no like actual physical cryptocurrency products where, you know, if you invest in this ETP or ETF, then you're basically investing in actual physical cryptocurrency. What we have in the United States is a bunch of paper Bitcoins on the CME Bitcoin futures. So that's good to see that Europe is more welcoming to like having cryptocurrency on the actual stock market, because that opens up a big route for investment, because basically there's tens of trillions of dollars on the stock market, and if stock investors see that they can invest a little bit in Bitcoin or Litecoin or Ripple, you know, even if they throw a small fraction of their holdings into that, it's a lot of money relative to the crypto space. Like, the total crypto market cap, even after all this rallying, is like $172 billion. So, and then it's tens of trillions of dollars in the stock and bond markets and stuff. So just having cryptocurrency as an option on the stock trading platforms where all that tens of trillions of dollars is circulating opens up the door for a lot of investment relative to the amount of money that's in crypto. So that's some good news. Moving on to the next story. So there's a guy that has launched Marmot Coin. And a marmot is like a squirrel that's the size of a cat. It's like kind of a rodent the size of a cat. It is pretty cute. And his coin basically is backed by actual marmots that live in his backyard. So apparently he grew up in a place where there was tons of marmots in his backyard, and he loves marmots for life. And now that he's an adult, he is filling his yard with marmots, and he likes cryptocurrency too, apparently. So he's like, okay, I'm making a coin where, you know, I only issue a coin when I get an actual marmot. So he says if someone wants to buy a marmot coin, all they have to do is send him a marmot, and he puts it in his backyard, then he issues one coin to them. So that's a pretty ingenious way to get your backyard filled with squirrels that are the size of cats. And I'm guessing he's breeding them, so I don't know how that works. So maybe the supply increases over time as he breeds the marmots. And marmots are apparently an endangered species, so this is pretty awesome, actually, that he's doing this. Marmot coin basically helps ensure that the marmots won't go extinct. And it's kind of like Tether, actually. And he made a joke, like, in his coin page, where he says, well, the supply of marmot coins might include other rodents in the surrounding area, and rodents I don't own. Because Tether actually put on their page, like, first they were saying they were backed completely by cash, and Tether's the biggest stablecoin. It's like a $2 billion market cap, which means there's $2 billion supposedly in a bank. That's what it originally meant, but then they changed their page to say it might include other assets and other, like, derivatives and basically loans, too, like, liabilities. So Tether, like, apparently went from, you know, having pure cash in the bank to, like, starting to use the money for investments and loans and stuff, and they include, like, all their liabilities and the Tether reserves as well, which is totally not the way it should have been. So he totally jokes about that by saying, yeah, you know, other rodents and marmots that I don't even own that are running around in the neighborhood, you know, that might be part of the supply, but I hope that's a joke, I guess. But it's really revealing of what's happening with Tether. Moving on from that, apparently only one person has sent anything to this person that is running marmot coin, and it wasn't a marmot, it was like a stuffed animal marmot. But he still gave him a marmot coin for the effort and for being the first person to send him anything for this. And in general, I don't see how these marmot coins have any value. It's mostly just an effort to save the marmots. So that's all I have for you today on this April 4th, 2019 edition of the Crypto.IQ Daily Radio Show. Come back tomorrow for another exciting episode and go to Crypto.IQ 24/7 for the most interesting stories in the Bitcoin and crypto space. Also join the Crypto.IQ trading desk. They have made 314% profits since July, even though that was during the worst of the bear market. And if you join the Crypto.IQ trading desk, you can see their trades in real time. And with each trade, there's a full trade analysis. So just by reading that stuff, you could become an expert trader. And then beyond that, you can ask them as many questions as you want in real time, and they'll answer all of your questions pretty quickly. So joining the Crypto.IQ trading desk is the easiest and best way to become a profitable and expert crypto trader. This is your host, Space Marine, signing out. I remain in space.